Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermillion County News for Friday, March the 20th, 2020. And the first article has the headline, Clean Machines, District 118 Schools Receive a Deep Cleaning. Dateline Danville. Danville District 118 schools are usually spick and span, but with the last coronavirus outbreak, the district has been taking extra precautions. We've been deep cleaning all the schools for 2.5 weeks since we first heard about it, Buildings and Grounds Director Skip Truex said. One tool the district has in its article for fighting the spread of illness inside its school buildings is an atomizer, which actually looks like a futuristic toy gun. The five atomizers the district has are anything but a toy. I got the idea about a year and a half ago when I saw a hospital using them. We had a flu outbreak last year at Northeast with 60 kids out, so I ordered three of them, he said. Then I ordered two more this year. Light switches and sinks. I spray all the areas I know students touch, he added as he sprayed the lower edge of lunchroom tables where small hands might explore. During spring break, Northeast, as well as all the schools in the district, will receive what is considered a quote-unquote deep cleaning. We will be going through and wiping down desks, chairs, keyboards, and computer mice, Robbins said. I will start cleaning and sanitizing the kitchen, wiping down all the surfaces and walls, and scrubbing and disinfecting the floors, he said. The gym floors, restroom floors, and hallways are going to get a good scrubbing, and then they will be waxed, he added. Robin said he and his fellow Northeast custodian, Quinn Britt, are fastidious when it comes to cleaning Northeast. We take great pride in this building, he said. When we do a deep cleaning, we go outside what we would normally do. We're going above and beyond. We have an article with the title, VA Tightens Restrictions on Visitors. Dateline Danville. The Veteran Affairs Ileana Healthcare System and its community-based outpatient clinics continue to make adjustments in an effort to protect veterans and minimize the risk of COVID-19. For the safety of patients, visitors, and staff, VA Ileana has changed its visitation policy for the main facility in Danville and clinics in Bloomington, Decatur, Mattoon, Peoria, and Springfield to help to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Effective now, no visitors of any age will be allowed to enter the medical center or CBOC facilities. Visitors will be prohibited from entering the medical center unless it is necessary for providing medical care, supporting patient care activities, or visiting under exigent circumstances such as grave illness or imminent death of a family member under care in the facility. Those entering the VA's facilities will continue to be pre-screened. At the Danville campus, veterans are required to access the medical facility at Building 98 Urgent Care Entrance for 24 hours a day. Patients entering the outpatient clinics will be screened at the main door prior to admission into the facility. Enrolled veterans who have flu-like symptoms such as fever, cough, and shortness of breath should call the nurse triage line at 888-598-7793 before visiting their provider at the VA Medical Center or local VA clinic. Veterans and staff are encouraged to take everyday preventative actions to avoid being exposed to the virus. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Stay home if you are sick or becoming sick. Use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. If you have symptoms or have been exposed to someone with symptoms, call the VA before going to the facility. For information for veterans and CDC updates, visit https://www.cdc.gov/coronavirus/2019-nCoV/index.html. And the next article has the headline, Business Manager Headed for Muhammad Seymour. Dateline Danville, Heather Smith, who has been Danville District 118's business manager for the last 11 years, has resigned from her post. Her last day with the district was earlier this week. Smith will become the new chief school business officer in the Mahomet Seymour School District starting Monday. I am excited about the next chapter in my life and excited about going there and digging in, she said of the new school district. They're getting ready to do some bonds for improvements to their field house. They're growing rapidly. Smith reflected on her career at District 118, during which she was in charge of $30 million in bond issuances for major renovations at Northridge Middle School, Southview Upper Elementary School, and Mark Denman Elementary School between 2011 and 2013, guided the school district through a financial crisis in 2017 when the state stopped making state aid allocations due to a lack of a state budget for more than a year, and then couldn't agree on a new school funding formula, and was part of tough teacher contract negotiations in 2010. Prior to working at District 118, Smith worked as a credit manager, account manager, and an auditor for Daimler Chrysler Financial's Freightliner division, a control manager at ThyssenKrupp, and a supervisor and account manager at Walgreens Accounting. Smith said when she became the business manager for District 118, Mark Denman was superintendent, and that's when, quote, I found my love in education. I owe a lot to Mr. Denman and the board, she said. He's been a good mentor to me. Smith said she is a third generation of her family to have attended Illinois State University, where she earned a bachelor's degree in finance/international business. She also has an MBA from Benedictine University and a CSBO, that's Chief School Business Officer, endorsement. Smith, who is a Danville native, said, Danville will always be my hometown. Smith's resignation comes several weeks after District 118 Administrator Kelly Truex, Director of Educational Support Programs, resigned the beginning of February to take a position with the Urbana School District. District 118 Board President Bill Dobbles said both administrative positions will be filled. We will follow the normal protocol. It will have to be posted and have people apply, and we will interview them, he said. They are both important positions, and we intend to fill them. We would like to fill Kelly's position with a principal, but it will be difficult to fill in the middle of the school year, so it probably won't be filled until June, said Dobbles. Now for the news briefs, and the first few are from Danville, and the first has the heading, County Building Open. Vermilion County offices will remain open, but officials ask the public only enter buildings for essential business. Residents are asked to conduct business by phone or email whenever possible. Contact information for all officers can be found at vercounty.org. And the next, also from Danville, it has the headline, Route Canceled. Effective March 23rd until further noticed, Danville Mass Transit's shuttle between Danville and Champaign will not run. The inside facilities of the Richard Brasda Bus Terminal building will be closed. And the next is from Danville and has the headline, Concert Canceled, Maury Chapel Church of Christ, 19194 North 1100 East Road, has canceled its March 29 gospel sing. For information, call Melissa at 217-799-7592. And the next is from Hoopston, and it has the headline, Library Closed. The Hoopston Public Library is closed and all programs canceled until further notice. Any overdue fines will be waived when the library reopens. Officials encourage patrons to use the library's online resources, including digital books for adults and children. Visit hooplib.org for information. And the next is from Newport, Indiana. And it has the headline, Offices Closed. Vermilion County Commissioners have closed county offices to the public, excluding the health department. They suggest only essential business be dealt with in person, and that is up to the discretion of office holders or department heads. The public can enter only with an appointment. Visitors should use the west door only. And the next is an opinion piece and has the headline, Taking Care of Mental Health. Dateline Logansport, COVID-19's impact on the economy, schools, and other aspects of daily life in Indiana can't yet be quantified. Compounded with the strain of layoffs, closed businesses, and children at home, Hoosiers are feeling emotional strain. There's a general overarching theme of uncertainty, said Carrie Cadwell, a psychologist and CEO of the Four County Counseling Center in Logansport. That just raises the bar on anxiety, even for someone who hasn't experienced a behavioral health disorder. Four County caters to Hoosiers in North Central Indiana as one of the state's community mental health centers with an inpatient psychiatric unit and anonymous crisis counseling. Mental health professionals must provide support and mitigate concerns even when they don't have the answers, while also suggesting coping strategies, according to Cadwell. Communication is just so huge, whether that's via social media or not, she said. It's really creating different sorts of channels of communications for our patients, and then being able to be with them and support them and our staff during a time of uncertainty. Mental health providers such as community health centers are open and providing services, Cadwell noted. Many hospitals are having to think through things like visitor restriction, essential versus non-essential personnel, communicating to anybody coming in for visits. In the case of a community mental health center, we also make home visits, Cadwell said. She added that community centers have to plan for ways to ensure the continuity of care, whether by phone or through teleservices, such as video chats. And the next section has the headline, Long-Term Impact. Jacek Kolach of the Indiana University Kinsey Institute studies the impact of life experience on psychological well-being over time, focusing on traumatic stress research. He says the long-term impacts of COVID-19 on society's emotional health are unknown. However, those who have gone through traumatic experiences in the past, or those who have PTSD, anxiety, or depression, may be more at risk for stronger symptoms during the pandemic, Kolach explained. But he stressed that it's likely that many people will not experience any long-term problems, while noting that unpredictable and uncontrollable situations may increase reactions, such as vigilance, disrupted sleep, and racing thoughts. These types of reactions are a normal way that the brain and body prepare for perceived threats, even if we are not in immediate danger, Kolach said. Traumatic experiences prolong these brain and body responses after the threat has gone. Taking the time to manage stress can reduce these problems, which can include insomnia in the long run, according to Kolach. And the next section has the headline, Mental Health Care. Self-quarantining can be stressful, and Cadwell, the psychologist, suggests focusing during the COVID-19 crisis on things that can be done rather than what can't be done. Taking a walk or talking to someone can ease feelings of social isolation and anxiety. The Indiana Family and Social Services Administration shares information from the Indiana Department of Health concerning the coronavirus, including a webpage dedicated to mental health professionals. FSSA, along with the American Red Cross, will offer specialized psychological first aid webinars to mental health professionals in the coming weeks. The State Health Department recommends promoting education for patients, including hand-washing hygiene and coronavirus information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The department cautions against misinformation spread on social media and suggests limiting exposure to the news as, quote, excess media exposure to coverage of stressful events can result in negative mental health outcomes, unquote. Collage suggested checking the news on a fixed schedule or disabling notifications to avoid feeling overwhelmed. For mental health providers and Hoosiers alike, FSSA urges taking care of yourself by making sure your needs are met, maintaining a healthy diet, exercising, and engaging in hobbies. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Debbie El Magaha, 53 of Danville, who died on March 15, 2020. Per her wishes, she will be cremated. The family will have a memorial service at a later date. And the next is for Cindy K. Hunt, 67, who died unexpectedly March 13, 2020. Due to restrictions on gatherings of more than 10 people, a private memorial service for immediate family only will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 21st at Crossroads Christian Church. The family respectfully requests people refrain from sending flowers. And the next is for Barbara Joan Rupert, 85, who died on Tuesday, March 17th. With regard to recent events, private grave site rites will be at Sunset Cemetery in Danville. Memorials may be made to the Mills Breast Cancer Institute in Urbana. And the next is for Patricia Hardine Pratt of Tilton, who died on Friday, March 13th. A celebration of Pat's life will be at from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday, March 21st at United Church of Tilton. And the next is for Lori L. Taylor Overmeyer of Danville, who died on March 16th. A celebration of life will be at a date to be determined. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of arrangements. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Lori's name to jdrf.org or a charity of the donor's choice. And the next is for Phyllis Marie Vander Voort of Rossville, Illinois, who died on Tuesday, March 17th. Due to health circumstances, private family services will be held. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association, 225 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60601, or to the Nephrotic Syndrome Sympathy. I'm sorry, to the Nephrotic Syndrome Association. I read that from the next page. And then the next is for Wanda P. Serapinas, 79, of Westville, who died on Tuesday, March 17th. A celebration of Wanda's life will be held at a later time. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville has assisted her family with arrangements. Memorial donations may be given in her name to the Ronald McDonald House of Nashville, Tennessee. And the next is for Herbert Wright, of 78, of Crown Point, formerly of Danville, who died on Thursday, March 19th. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek and Sons Funeral Home. And the next is for Ronald E. Gaffney, 83 of Fairmont, who died on Wednesday, March 18th at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Okay, and now an editorial, or maybe a news flash, with the headline, Unemployment Claims Skyrocket. Tens of thousands of Illinoisans are seeking unemployment benefits amid the coronavirus pandemic as workplaces, restaurants, and businesses shutter. More than 41,000 Illinoisans submitted unemployment claims to the state's Department of Employment Security on Monday and Tuesday, said spokeswoman Rebecca Sisko. That's more than nine times as many as the state received on the same 2 days during the corresponding week last year. Typically, the state requires people to be actively seeking work to receive unemployment benefits. But that changed under emergency rules adopted specifically to respond to COVID-19, the disease caused by the new coronavirus. A person is considered to be actively seeking work as long as they're prepared to return to work as soon as the employer reopens, according to the Department of Employment Security's website. The state has made other exceptions to the normal requirements to receive unemployment benefits, too. Usually, leaving a job to care for a child is considered voluntary and would mean a person would not qualify for benefits. But an executive order from Governor J.B. Pritzker has closed public and private schools around the state at least through March 30th, and some are already planning to stay closed longer. The state recognizes that a parent staying home with a child likely has no other child care option and would consider that person eligible for unemployment benefits. It has been just over a week since the World Health Organization officially declared the COVID-19 outbreak is pandemic. In Illinois, the number of confirmed cases of the disease has been growing exponentially in recent days. Pritzker announced on Wednesday that cases had nearly doubled in one day, bringing the state's total to 288. To help prevent the spread, he also ordered bars and restaurants around the state to close to dine-in business starting March 17th. Some have remained open for carry-out orders, providing some relief to employees. And this is a an editorial with the headline, "Say Thanks, Be Grateful." As we adjust to our new normal in the season of COVID-19, there are adjustments we can make in our everyday lives to make things better for everyone. Some of these are already common sense and in extensive use, for which we are grateful, but we'll present some suggestions, even at the risk of being repetitive. First and most important, remember this is happening to everyone. There's not an evil overlord picking on you or your peer group. Some are being asked to do more than others. Everyone is sacrificing something. Let's continue to be as understanding as we can, and keep in mind that the struggles and inconveniences are going to continue for the foreseeable future. If you're suffering from social media burnout, take a break. It will still be there when you want to check back in. Even the best and most important information needs to take a back seat to your mental well-being. Of course, for some of us, mental well-being is boosted by the positives we get from social media. So if you can't take a break, try to take a huge swallow of pessimism. Or would skepticism be a better word, especially if you're looking at questionable sources with an agenda, particularly one of disinformation. Speaking of disinformation, among the most widespread of the untrue are three items. One, don't gargle with bleach. Do you really have to be told that? Two, this virus cannot be cured by gargling with salt water. Three, the Center for Disease Control has not issued an edict that all beards be shaved. Don't be fooled by a spiffy graphic, which is well done, but also 3 years old. It's time to celebrate if you are among those who have found, via assorted new time-measuring suggestions, that they've been washing their hands in appropriate fashion all along. So whether you're washing while humming Happy Birthday twice, or Toto's Africa, Lizzo's Truth Hurts, or a prayer of your choice, congratulations if your timing has been ideal. Say thanks, from an appropriate distance, of course, to those you see working. People who are circulating now are just as frightened and concerned as everyone else, but the reason things are going as close to normal as they are is because some people are going above and beyond. First responders, medical folks, grocery and drugstore employees, cashiers, drivers, utility workers, postal carriers, and the ones we're forgetting or unfortunately don't even realize. Thank you. Remember, those people giving you curbside service are still working. Don't forget to give them a generous tip along with your thanks. Gift certificates are going to be more than we can imagine to small businesses. If possible, pick up a few and distribute them among friends and coworkers and first responders and medical folk and etc., etc. That act alone might save jobs and businesses. Enjoy what you read. We're seeing language we've never been able to use in a literal sense. Tuesday's special treat was draconian. a word used in relation to the measures presently being taken. Draconian is, quote, of laws and their application, excessively harsh and severe. That's something we haven't seen for a while. As much as we've been able to ascertain by this point, people taking advantage of the situation to nefarious ends are few and far between. Be cautious, but do not assume the worst simply because we can imagine it. I like that one. That's my comment. Now, here's a staff report from Danville. Health officials await results. Dateline Danville, the Vermilion County Health Department recently authorized 29 new COVID-19 tests from healthcare providers. Two have come back negative. Health department officials are waiting for results on 27 tests, according to a release. There were still no confirmed cases, officials said. The health department also stated it is offering WIC services, but with some changes. The weekly Hoopston clinic is closed for now. The health department is calling clients with appointments to update information and can have their vouchers ready when they arrive. Some clients will still have to come inside, but most clients can be served at the drive-through clinic parking lot. Because the labs in the country are still limited in the number of tests, patients who call their doctors and explain their symptoms may be asked to not get tested and stay home for 14 days if the symptoms are mild. Local residents should stay home if they are able. Those who do go out should practice social distancing. And now I'm going to start on an opinion column by Gene Lyons, and I may not be able to finish it because of time considerations. As I said, it's an opinion column. As was only fitting on St. Patrick's Day, my brother Tommy and I congratulated each other on our hardy Irish peasant genes. Centuries of living on dirt floors with pigs, we smugly agreed, have rendered us mix, immune from contagion. Except for our grandfather, Michael Sheedy, who died in the 1980 Spanish flu epidemic, the last time a highly contagious virus with no immunity and no vaccine spread worldwide. He's buried in Elizabethport, New Jersey, within walking distance of the salt water that carried his family here from County Cork on so-called coffin ships, because so many people, passengers, died at sea during the Great Irish Famine. He was 32. That's basically all we know. Our mother was 2 when her father died. Her mother remarried. We must have Sheedy cousins somewhere, but we've never met them. But no, Tommy and I are hardly immune, nor is anybody else we love. Meanwhile, we also agreed that if anything good could possibly come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, it could only be the decline and fall of Boss Trump, the world's biggest and most incompetent bluffer. Now we begin to understand how the man managed to go bankrupt running casinos. He never knows what he's talking about, refuses to be corrected, and surrounds himself with flatterers. Eventually, people quit believing his lies, and the merry-go-round shudders to a stop. Then he's off to the next scam, playing a savvy businessman on TV, fleecing gullible students at Trump University, laundering dirty money for Russian gangsters, whatever. Everything he touches is crooked. The illusion ultimately fades. Polls are beginning to show that Trump is pretty much down to the core of his cult-like base. According to the Washington Post, Jennifer Rubin, a new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finds only 30% of Americans now say they had a good amount or a great deal of trust in what they're hearing from the president. 60% have not very much or no trust at all in what he's saying. There will be far fewer before the COVID-19 crisis ends, especially now that Trump has reversed himself and begun repeating what experts like Dr. Anthony Fauci have been telling him all along, about 2 months late. I have to quit here because I've run out of time. I look forward to reading with you again soon. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, March 20th.